It was through a friend of ours that lived in Stephen Terrace. They had a big house that had been a girls' home. And there was a chapel in the back garden, which was, you know, deconsecrated or whatever. And it was just guess a big empty shed. And he had friends, one who knew a bit about Scottish dancing, and decided that they would like to get a bit of a group going. So we were invited along with a couple of other couples to make up a set of eight, because that was about as much room as there was in the chapel. It was not, well, whether the area was as big as this room, it might have been. It was just about big enough anyway to get a set of eight in and be able to, you know, sort of cast off and go around the back and up the middle and that sort of thing. And, you know, we'd have crashes and things like that, you know, forgetting to reel in the right direction. we used to go along, it was every Tuesday night, and we'd have, you know, 2 or 3 hours of dancing, and then have some supper and go home and meet again the next Tuesday. And this went on for probably 2 or 3 years. This would have been back in the early years, about 1982, 1981 thereabouts. And they sold their house, so the dancing came to an end. But John Murray, who was the guy who was the expert and the teacher, he said that, you know, there's a Scottish Dancing Society, they meet around. So we made some inquiries and found that there were a couple of classes in North Adelaide. There was one in Archer Street, and there was one, we went to the other one, which I think was the one that Jean was teaching at. And so we basically went along there and started there. And went on from there, and we got involved with that for a while. And then I don't know what happened out of that. We couldn't dance any longer there. I think it was this, I think it might have been the Scottish Country Dance Society that was actually having the classes there. And of course there was this another sort of splinter group in the church hall in Archer Street as well, so the two weren't that far apart really. But then they went to the Caledonian Hall in King William Street, which was down, there was a sort of army surplus store down there. It was about halfway down, probably close to right between Wright Street and the next one down, I think it was. And we were dancing there. And for my sins, I got elected president of the society. It must have been 83, I think, because the following year we had the annual school at Rosewithy College, so we got a bit involved with that. That was in 84, I think. And when that had finished, we kept dancing for another month or two, and then I was due for long service leave. So I think it was about the end of August, September, we went overseas for the whole of the 3 months that we had. And that was when we had the experience driving around the Arc de Triomphe. And we were basically away the whole time. And when we came back, we didn't rejoin, so we virtually stopped Scottish dancing in January. Well, end of August 84, we stopped Scottish dancing and didn't get back to it when we returned home until 2 or 3 years ago, when we moved here. And we'd been living here for quite a few years and hadn't realised that there was a Scottish dancing class at the bottom of the street. And I think we must have been walking past to Foodland one Wednesday morning and heard some Scottish music. And we went in and had a look and saw Jean. So then we got involved again from there. So that's basically our Scottish dancing, but we didn't get back into it. I mean, we used to be going out and doing demonstrations and things up in Mount Barker and different places. Now, I think we picked the steps up reasonably quickly. I mean, there's not that much variation, really. It's just a bit of violin. It's reels. The steps are all pretty similar, and the strats ways are different. But then, once you've learned how to do those, it's just a case of trying to remember the patterns. John used to do sessions with us, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes of step practice and things like that, which we used to do. And it probably wasn't really until we went to the Scottish Dance Society classes that Mayor Sinclair used to put us through the drills on a regular basis. and then we used to practice if we were in a demonstration set that were going off somewhere that would need to polish things up a little bit. So yeah, we did a bit of concentrated practice on that, but I don't do the steps now because the middle toe on my left foot is a bit arthritic, and so I'm just sort of walking around in the patterns rather than doing the steps, which is a bit of a nuisance. It's the only time it bothers me trying to do the Scottish dance steps. I don't feel it any other time.
Ed, you said there was a splinter group. Can you tell me what's going on? What does all that mean?
Well, I think there were basically two classes. There was the class that we went to, which was in North Adelaide, but I just can't for the life of me remember where it was exactly. And there was a class in the church hall in Archer Street as well, which was, I think, it was on a different night, obviously. But that was it. That was just another class. I think it moved there from the North Adelaide base that we had. I don't think it was there all the time in the Caledonian Hall. It may have been there, I don't know, but I seem to recall that we moved there because the place became unavailable to us that we were using. There was a Scottish Day at Mount Barker every year, and I know we used to go up there and dance. I don't know whether it was some sort of carnival day that they had up there with a bit of sports and different things. We used to go up there and did demonstrations. I think we went to Port Adelaide once, because I think there was a class that used to operate at Port Adelaide as well. And I don't know. I remember going up there to do some dances, but I can't remember what the actual occasion was. And the same at Burnside, or they may have been there, because there used to be a class at Burnside, and we would we had visits there from time to time. I can't remember whether went anywhere else to do demonstrations, whether we went to old folks' homes or something like that on occasions. May well have done. These demonstrations were coming up, and Mayor was wanting a set to do a bit of practice and go up and perform on it, and we were interested enough to put our hands up and volunteer. And I guess that's how it happened. I don't think it was because we were any more expert at it than anybody else. If anything, it was the other. But there were some good dancers in the group, and I guess it was the case of who was willing to go up and put an extra, put a morning in at a go up to Mount Barker and spend the morning or the afternoon there, whenever it was, or wherever the demo happened to be. And yeah, we were prepared to do it.
Did it take a lot of effort to get to that standard?
When you say that there's a standard of the demonstration, I would say that we probably learned the dance to be able to go through the patterns without crashing into anybody, rather than perform with exquisite execution of the steps themselves. We were probably learning the steps every week when we were going to the dances, particularly at the Caledonian Hall. Miss May was the instructor then. And Jean was the instructor. But again, I mean, Jean was putting us through our paces with the steps as well to get them right. So I guess we did reach a certain level of execution of the dances, which was acceptable to the teachers, otherwise they probably wouldn't have let us go and demonstrate. Now, I know there was Mor Ag and her sister. I can't remember their surnames though, but I know they're still dancing. They were very good dancers. And there was another girl there who was very, she was a Highland dancer as well. And she was a beautiful dancer, with country dancing as well as, well, of course you had the skill of Highland dancing, and that sort of transferred quite a bit into Scottish country dancing. She was an excellent dancer. I can't remember the names of Andrew Buchanan was dancing then, and he remembered all the dancers. You know, we'd always get a nudge every now and again if we were going in the wrong direction. He'd be able to keep us right. I can't really remember any others that were there.
Can you just give me some of your impressions of May St. Clair?
She was a very strong personality, put it that way. Probably a bit of a martinet, and she didn't suffer fools gladly, let's put it that way. And you know, I think she'd tell you if you're doing something the wrong way and do it properly.
Can you think of an incident?
I used to laugh at it a little bit, you know. when she was sort of getting a bit toy about something, and I think that sometimes used to sort of diffuse things a bit. But I got on pretty well with her I think I got on pretty well with her. But I used to catch a little bit every now and again. Along with everybody else, I guess. But it was, sort of par for the course, and I used to roll over, you know. I think there were problems in getting people to nominate for the position, as I guess is quite often the case in organisations. And I think I was probably, sort of succumbed to persuasion, just under, but I had a bit of experience at running meetings and things with the work that I was doing at the time. So I was working at I was sort of the executive officer of the Sports Association at the university, and we were having monthly meetings and other meetings and things. So I got fairly used to running meetings. and we didn't have that many meetings for the society, and they were all generally fairly low-key ones, other than when the time came to organise the school at Roseworthy, because then we had to find a venue and organise people on the committee to do various jobs, which was fine. That was just a case of saying, well, you do this and you do that, you do the other, and then we'd have a meeting and everybody would report in how far they'd got and whether they need pushing a bit to, you know, but generally that all worked pretty well. We got teachers invited, one came over from Scotland for the school and took a class and took some other classes as well, you know, not just for the school, but visiting other, you know, other states, did a bit of a tour around and came to the class and organised, was the main teacher at the school there, and we had other interstate teachers. And we were probably about 120 people came from around Australia to the school. And we had four or five classes in various venues at the college, which was worked out very well.
I'm a little confused about what the school means. What is the school? And
it was you all went there to learn to dance and learn new dances and have your dancing skills polished up. And do they still have them? I don't know.
I think they're called winter schools and summer schools.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, it's one of those. Yeah, it would have been a summer school that we had. And people came from all states. And there were regulars that never missed a school. And I remember that caused a bit of a problem because we'd reach what we thought was going to be our quota for the facility. And some of these regulars had been a bit tardy in getting their applications in. And in all my innocence and lack of experience, I said, well, they'll just have to come next year and get their applications in a bit earlier. And couldn't possibly not have these people at the school. So our numbers increased from 110 to 120, I think, to accommodate these regulars that had been a bit late in getting their applications in. But that smoothed over, and that was okay. They packed them in, but we're looking at the facilities at Roseworthy. I mean, they had a gymnasium with a nice wooden floor, which was great for the occasions when we had everybody, you know, dancing together. But then we had the various schools where there were, you know, sort of beginners and intermediates and advanced, where they were separated out a bit. And so, you know, some of the rooms were, you know, the classes had to be tailored to the space available, basically. But everything worked out pretty well. We managed with it, from what I recall.
What was the location of the school?
Roseworthy College. Just out of Gawler, about 5 years. Roseworthy Agricultural College, it's part of Adelaide University, and it's about 4 or 5 or 6 k's out of Gawler.
So do you know how it got to be part of the Scottish Country Dancing?
Well, we asked if we could have the school there during the vacation, and so we hired it. It was a case of getting a venue with a tad that had the space to accommodate what we wanted to do. Came out to Australia. We were living in Sydney initially. I was teaching physical education there. And I'd been there, I was about 68 when we went out there. Must have been the end of 72. There was an advert from Adelaide University for a secretary of the sports association at the university. So I applied for it, and and was appointed then. So I went there starting just after Easter in 73. And I was there until I retired in 95. I was there for 22 years. Quite a few changes occurred during that period. And yeah, so that's how I got there. And I'd been up to Roseworthy and seen what was there. Just not to do with Scottish dancing or anything like that. I'm not sure whether the South Australian branch put the hand up to volunteer for it, or whether it was went on a roster system between the states and it was our turn to do it. I can't remember now. Jean might probably remember. And then it was a case of finding a suitable venue from various places around town, but the university union was a possibility. They had the union hall at that stage. There was the Scott Theatre, which belonged to the Teachers College, and the union building itself, which had a sort of games room, and as all those, you know, dotted about the place around the campus, there would have probably been enough room to have fitted it in there. There's a possibility. And Roseworthy was another one, and I think they decided because of the accommodation, everybody could stay at Roseworthy. So it was like a residential college, basically, and they had enough space to accommodate 120 people there. So it was really an ideal spot. And that's where we went. Well, Andrew Buchanan was certainly there, Jean was there, Morag and her sister were there. And I can't remember the names of any of the others, quite frankly. It was 84. It would have been probably in July 84 when the school was on. And I don't remember even seeing anybody since then until we started again a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. Well, we used to go back there because of Schooner's Links there. To Mull and Skye, friends and relatives there that we visited when we go back. Probably the last one we stayed at a B&B up by McCaig's Tower in Oban, and we didn't get to Skye that trip, but we did go over to Mull, and we went to Port Abbin to have afternoon tea at the Aird's Hotel, which is the one that Schooner's grandparents used to run. This was going back into the 1920s when they were there. And my sister and her partner booked us into the Aird's for an afternoon tea. Which is now, it's a sort of a Michelin star hotel, you know, and a very, very swish place to go and stay and have meals at. Anyway, we went there and had a very nice afternoon tea, served by a guy with his white gloves and his stand of cakes and sandwiches and tea and everything, which was all very nice. And then we went out and had a look at their garden and the little croquet lawn that they had there, and then just across the lock was the Isle of Schooner. So we got a good view of part of that. And actually, when we got back home, we hadn't been back long, and one of the things we liked doing is get the Country Life magazine from the Walkerville Library, and we looked in there, and here's a big full page ad of the Isle of Schooner, which was for sale, and all the details about it, you know. So that was, although we couldn't afford to buy it, but it was an interesting thing that it was up for sale there. Yeah.
How big was it?
Oh, it was probably a quarter of a mile long, about a couple of hundred metres wide, something like that. There was a sort of a manor house on it, and then a farmhouse, and a little quay to moor up the boat to. We're quite a nice place to live, I should think. And, you'd have to have a boat to get over to do your shopping.
If my wife ever hears about this, she'll be there on the next plane.
Yeah. Oh, I should think it's been sold by now. But, well, yes, we went up to Tobermory. We had a B&B up there, which was, as this would, the first time we went, we didn't get right up that far. No, we just more on the southern end, around Duart Castle and Torosay. But when we went over this time, we missed out on the train ride from Craig Newark, where the ferry comes in. And there used to be a little train used to run down to Torosay Castle, and the castle was up for sale, and the last run of the train had been the day before we got there. But we were still able to go into the garden and have a walk around, but the house, the castle was closed down, and it was sort of changing owners, I guess. And it's a beautiful grounds in the Torosay Castle.
You went there during the summer season, I guess.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, late summer, it was September, early October. It was probably about the best time to go for weather.
Do you know anything about their weather?
Oh, it can be pretty wet up there, but generally we've been lucky with it by going, you know, sort of early October. It seems to be more settled when the kids go back to school. And same with going to the Lake District, you know, so October's a good time to go.
Your wife's name is Shuna.
Shuna.
Can you tell me the story of the island name and your wife's name?
Yeah, well, when her parents were married, they had their honeymoon up there in the Molos Kai. And Shuna was called after the island of Shuna.
It's a nice name.
It's an unusual one.
Has it got a meaning?
No, it's just the name of the island. And I think we've heard of one other person who's been with the name of Shuna. But that's all.
And what relations do you have left? Or does she have left?
In Scotland, I don't think there are any up there now. She's got a cousin in Sunderland. Another one who lives down in the south of England. And my sister is still living in Sunderland, and her daughter and family. But that's about all that we have there.
Excuse me. If you were to describe country dancing, what would you say to some newcomer?
It's good exercise. It's fairly easy to learn the steps, because there are only basically two steps that you have to learn, and the rest of it is learning the patterns of the different dancers and putting the steps to them.
How difficult is learning the patterns?
It's difficult. Some dancers are easy, like Flowers of Edinburgh and Cumberland Reel and Deal Among the Tailors, but there are some very complicated ones. and take a bit of learning. Nottingham Less is probably, I would say, one of the harder ones. The Strathspeys, I would say, as a general rule, are a bit easier to learn because they're slower and you've got a little bit more time to think. And if you do make a mistake, you can generally, if you've gone wrong, you can turn around and catch up to where you should be and keep going. Whereas in the jigs and reels, they're a bit too quick, and if you take a wrong turn there, you've probably mucked the dance up for the for the duration of that particular dance. Yeah, but generally it's not difficult, and everyone has a good laugh when someone goes wrong, you know, so it's not that serious if something goes wrong, you know, and I mean, just has a laugh and you get on with it and start again. And it's good fun, and it's pretty relaxed, and everybody enjoys it, which is one of the good things about Scottish dancing, I think.
Very true.
And if you can't do the steps properly, well, you do them as well as you can and get by. And or one or two of us just walk all the way around the steps for various reasons. But I think the main thing is remembering which way to turn and when to turn. And there you go. But I think the main thing is repetition, because we're only basically doing it once a week. There are other classes where people do them twice a week, which is better. But I suppose the older you get when you're doing it, the less you retain in terms of the patterns of the dance, and you really need to be repeating them on a pretty regular basis, otherwise Flight of the Falcon, for example, if you really need to be doing that every other week to keep it in your head. I mean, I think today, for example, it had been about a month before we'd done it, and it was probably just a little bit too long for some people. And generally it's good fun and good exercise, and nice people that you're dancing with all the time. And if you go wrong, well, you go wrong, it's too bad.
It seems like a long time since May Sinclair was teaching her strict way of dancing.
Yes. May, certainly she had arthritis pretty, pretty badly. And this used to give her a lot of problems, you know. She couldn't demonstrate as well as she would like to. She'd often get someone else to demonstrate. And I think it used to get to her a bit at times. And I think this was, you know, half of the problem, if not more, with her sometimes being a bit snappy.
Do you have much hope for the dance continuing?
Oh, I think as long as they've got dancers there to teach the dancing, I think it'll still go on, yeah. I don't think it'll die out, as long as there's an interest in people getting involved and doing it and people being prepared to teach it. And I know that the teachers that we've got have been around for an awful long time. And I don't know whether there are any new dance teachers coming up. I haven't really inquired. It would be a shame if it did sort of fall by the wayside for lack of teachers. But I guess it's quite possible. I don't know what the numbers are like in the society these days. It seemed to be reasonably healthy back in the 80s. I don't know whether the numbers are still up as many as they were then. Mm.
I think the 80s was a golden era, wasn't it?
Well, there were certainly, you know, classes around. You know, we had there were the two in North Adelaide at the time when we started, and then that became one, and there was the Caledonian, there was a class in Archer Street, there was one in Burnside, and there was one at Elizabeth. There was one at Port Adelaide. I don't know whether they're all still going or not. I don't know that I've got any hope on that. I'm just, as I don't know what the teacher base is at the moment, you know, whether it's as strong as it was, or whether it's just three or four around now. And
Lily's passed away, and there's a lady that in one of her classes that is doing the teaching now, but she's also struggling to have
class. Yeah, Lily was the one that taught at Elizabeth, wasn't she?
That's right.
Yeah. It's quite. She had a friend of hers from Sunderland that came out to visit her. We were living up in Harndorf at the time, and she brought her in to the visitor centre where we were doing volunteer work, and introduced us, and we got talking, and we found out that she knew my sister, and in fact that my sister's daughter was going out with her son. They were they were an item. That was quite a coincidence.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And we knew, we'd met her son several times when we'd been over there, as his nickname was Rambo, and everybody called him Rambo, you know. And we said, oh, Rambo, yeah, that's my son. So we said, oh, yes, we know him. that was quite funny. Quite a coincidence. Yeah, we had a couple of coincidences like that. Before we came to Adelaide, we were living in Sydney, and Tuna's mother was with us then, and she was going to go on a bus tour down to just going to some place down south, near Nowra, and we'd put her on the bus, took her and put her on the seat, and someone said, hello, Colin. And I looked around to see who it was. It had been our next door neighbour from before I was married, where we lived in Sunderland, that we hadn't seen for years. She was on the bus doing it on the same tour. There it was, tour down to Bateman's Bay, that's what it was. Yeah, it's amazing. A small world sometimes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.